December 24th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. From here on in, I shoot without a script. See if anything comes of it instead of my old shit.
Oh my god, we're back again. For episode number 3, I'm Paige.
And I'm Ashley.
And you're listening to Shoot Without a Script, the first podcast for the Rentheads by the Rentheads.
In this episode, we're going to be discussing the style and costumes of each character. We'll be doing our own Where and When Are They Now, our Wilson Germain Heredia, and we will also be discussing everything Angel.
The reason this episode is so Angel-themed is because it is our Halloween episode, even though it's like really, really late, we realize that. But as many of you know, Halloween was Angel's favorite holiday. But before all that, we have a few announcements. We have set the parody contest deadline for next Monday, which is actually this coming Monday, November 6th. So if you want the chance to guest host, you should really get those entries in. And for those of you who don't know, you can send entries to either the download page or the main page on MySpace. I'll put the exact addresses in the show notes, so when you hit the info button on iTunes, you'll be able to copy and paste it into your browser. You can also contact us at our email, which is shootwithoutascript@yahoo.com. There's no spaces in that. And you can send entries there as well. You can find details about the contest on either of the MySpace pages. In other news, we have been quite busy trying to get in contact with Rent alumni. And so far, we've been in contact with Kevin Spencer, who played Roger on the third national tour. You can check him and his solo music out, which is quite good, on his MySpace. And you can get to his page through ours. He's on our top friends list on both pages. We've also been in contact with another former Roger, which we accidentally let slip in a bulletin, but we are trying to keep him a secret. He was in the Broadway production, and you're just going to be held in suspense about who he is. But just so you know, we have arranged an interview with him, and that'll be released in late November. The first people to find out about who he is will be the friends on the Download MySpace page, because I'm going to be the one to post the bulletin. And then on the following episode, we'll release who it is on air. And now, we have a few more announcements. We've also been in contact with Matt Kaplan. We haven't scheduled dates with them yet, but we're in talks. So now Ashley is going to start us off on our discussion of the characters, costume, style, and more.
All right. We're going to begin our discussion with a very big debate of which Mimi you like better, based on costume and style. We're not looking to start a huge fight over which is better, Rosario or Daphne, but just discuss which costumes are better and such. So, in the movie, Mimi has many different outfits. A few that stick out are obviously Out Tonight, but also Love You Boheme and Take Me or Leave Me, whereas in the Broadway production, she wears pretty much the same costume throughout, including the same blue boots and the kimono and Out Tonight.
Okay, so, I personally like the Mimi outfits in the movie better, because you kind of get to see a variety of different things, and kind of it gives you a better look at her character, of how she chooses her clothing.
Mm-hmm. I like both. I like how they incorporated the Mimi outfit she wears in the show into the movie, but, like, in the same thing, like, in the show, they can't change the outfit a billion times because Mimi's one of the main characters. She's always on stage.
That's true. I actually have a story that I would like to share because, see, the first time I went to see Rent, I wanted to be all cool and, like, dress like Mimi to go see it. Yeah. I know. I was a dork. But, so I went out and I bought this, like, short blue skirt and, like, blue stockings and, like, these, like, hooker boots. And, like, I wore a blue polo, but, like, still, my hair was all, like, down and curly, and, like, I had to stand on the street to wait for my cousin to show up, and, like, all these guys kept honking at me, and I was, really, really afraid that a cop was gonna arrest me for prostitution.
And you're how old?
I was 15 at the time. I'm only 16 now.
Illegal prostitution, not like prostitution isn't already illegal.
I know, it was horrible. My mom made me put on, like, this big jacket afterwards.
What month was it?
January.
So then you should be wearing a jacket.
Yeah, but it was, like, a shorter jacket because I wanted to look cool. But then I just looked.
You were cool.
Yeah, it was.
You go.
No, you go.
Okay. Well, I went to Rent in the Blizzard, and I decided to be cool and make shirts. and our shirts said Rent, and we all had our own little character names. I was Mimi and Maureen because I'm just a split character. I don't know.
That's cute.
So mine on the back said Mimi and Maureen and quotes from both of them from the show, movie, whatever. So I went to get one of the t-shirts at Intention, like the ones they sell, the black one. And the lady who sells the shirts, she looked at me while I'm wearing my shirt and she goes, "Do you realize how illegal your shirts are?" And I looked at her and I'm like, "Do you realize how much your job sucks?" All right. Another debate amongst fans of the movie and the Broadway production is whether Roger, not Adam, but the character of Roger, is portrayed better with long or short hair.
Should I take a stab at it first?
You take a stab at it first. You're the Roger / Adam, even though this has nothing to do with Adam.
Yes, see, that's why I want to start, because I am the biggest diehard Adam fan in the world. Not about Adam. See, I think personally that Adam looks good with any hair length, but Roger, the character, I think looks best with long hair, because, see, he's supposed to have not gone out of the house at all. He's supposed to be, like, in, like, complete hiding from the world for, like, how long? Like, a year?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah, like a year. So he's not going to leave the house to go get a haircut, people. He's going to stay in the house, and his hair is going to grow long.
I liked him 10 years ago with the short hair.
And why?
The movie, he looks better with the long hair.
He the character or he the Adam?
He the character.
Okay, explain.
The way he's portrayed in the movie makes him look better with long hair, but 10 years ago in the pictures and such, he looks better with the short hair because it's just different. The lighting is different and everything.
Okay, I can understand that.
Yeah. All right. Now, we all know that we adore Mark's scarf. Don't lie. You know you've tried to learn to knit just so you could have that coolness wrapped around your neck. I looked in the Gap last week for a Mark scarf, and I couldn't find one, and I was really depressed.
I own the Mark scarf. I own it.
My friend has one like it. All right. But, you know, Mark's scarf is kind of famous. Why do we love Mark's scarf?
I'm not really sure why we love Mark's scarf, but, like, it's his scarf. Like, there's no Mark without the scarf.
I know. It was so funny because I had a holiday party and we watched Rent last year. And we were dressing up as the characters because we were being really cool. So the scarf, similar to it, it's like dark blue and gray. So we brought it and we like swore that the person who was Mark in my little group of friends was not Mark unless he wore this scarf.
It's so true though. It's so true.
In the show, he never takes the thing off.
I know. Now, rarely. See.
Yeah.
Rarely. I can't talk tonight. Rarely.
Over words, my first thing saying anything. See, I just did it again.
You did. Now, if you listen to the commentary on the DVD, like I do. Yeah, I have. They say, like, his scarf was originally blue and white.
But the white was too bright.
Yeah, it didn't work with the cameras for the movie, and that's why they had to change it to the gray and blue. And now you can buy the gray and blue scarf with a little Rent logo on the bottom on, like, the movie website.
It's on my Christmas list.
I got it last year from my cousin. Oh, it was amazing. It's really soft. Like, it's...
Mark scarf?
Yeah, it's, like, the most comfortable scarf you're ever going to wear. Like, it's not itchy like other scarves.
Still owes me a birthday gift, so he's buying me that.
Good. He should, because it's the most amazing scarf ever.
It is.
You know what? I'm going to find the link to it, and I'll put it at the end of the show. And, like, okay. You can all just go to it in your browsers, and we'll all wear Mark scarves, and it'll just be, like, the newest trend.
We'll be like, yo, we're cool. Okay. All right. So Collins and his coat are another reason that is unbreakable. Now, the coat was Angel's gift to Collins, and Collins plays special purpose in both the movie and Broadway production. In the play, Collins gets his coat during the number Christmas Bells. Great song. Very awesome harmonies. And in the movie, he gets it during I'll Cover You. Is it differentness? You start.
Okay, so I just wanted to kind of discuss how he received it and how it was different, because I think in the movie, people got a little confused and didn't realize it was the same jacket that got stolen that he got when they bought it during I'll Cover You. Whereas...
Here in the movie.
Yeah, they really didn't... Yeah, because, like, I had to explain it to everybody I knew. Whereas in the play, it's very drawn out. Like, he'll say, like, oh, that's my coat. Like, it's in the lyrics.
Discounts. I think we've met. Let's get a better one.
But she brought us together. Yeah, I love that song. It's one of my favorites.
I'll take the leather. Your father, damn,
okay. Yeah, okay. Karaoke episode. No, that would be funny, though.
Go on. We just need about 3 more people to finish the harmonies.
Yeah. I love when, really going off on a tangent here, but in the song Christmas Bells, I love when in the background Mark's going, but I'm over her. When she's talking about Maureen to Mimi, because, like, he likes Mimi all of a sudden.
Yeah. Maureen. But I'm over her. Let's not hold hands yet. Is that a warning?
Oh, my God. I always get lost there. I can never hear it.
Take it slow.
Oh, wow. I'm lyrics now. But back to our...
Is that a warning? Yeah, she goes, is that a warning?
Okay, well, I just learned something new. But back to the discussion of Colin's coat. So it's stolen during the song Rent. It's the opening song in the movie. It's a bit further in, like, there's all the tune-ups and voicemails. I know, they're so good. They really are good.
They tried doing the tune-ups sung instead of talked through, like, in the beginning video, but it just didn't work.
No.
Commentary again.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah.
The blooper in, this has to do with Colin's coat, in I'll Cover You when he puts down the collar twice.
No, I never realized that. There's a fan page on MySpace, and one of their forums is all about the bloopers in the movie. It's hysterical. Like, you should really just go and read it. It's like everything. Yeah, it's hysterical. Like, I seriously went back and watched the movie after reading that, and I was just like, oh my God, that's hysterical.
And I'm like, oh my God, they're serious. And he goes, hey, Rosie, let's put these tables together, referring to Rosario and Angel and Love.
Yeah, yeah.
Angel quote inside Love You M when they're rocking Mark back and forth. Have you heard about that one?
When he goes to yeah, I'm not gonna say it. You have to go find it out for yourself because we are a PG podcast.
Are we even PG? I think we're pretty much almost G.
Yeah, we really don't say anything bad. We're really good people. We have a
Colin's coat.
Yeah, back to Colin's coat. What is it? We can't talk about it. I had a story that I wanted to share. A few weeks ago, I went to the Broadway flea market, and they were auctioning off all old Broadway props. And
they did not auction his coat.
Listen to the story and then comment. So I was mainly there because there was this big meet and greet booth, and I wanted to meet Josh Strickland, who plays Tarzan. And he was actually on a Rent tour way back when. So Jesse L. Martin was there, and he had owned the coat that was originally his. But the profits from this organization went to, I think, the Actors Equity or Broadway Cares. I'm not sure which one. Okay, so it was Broadway Cares. And the coat was there. I got to see the coat. It was really cool, but they auctioned it off, and it went for, I don't know exactly how much, because it wasn't done being sold once I was gone. It was a silent auction, so I don't know exactly how much it went for, but I'm sure it went for a lot. Another actually artifact from Rent that was auctioned off that day was the stage door. Yeah, and on Rent 10, all of the original cast members signed it. Like, I actually took a picture of the door, really zoomed in, so you could read the messages. Maybe I'll post it on the MySpace. I'm not sure if I'm going to get sued. I might get sued, but if I get any legal threats, I'll take it off. But so look at it quickly, I guess. I don't know.
Go there while you still can.
Yeah, so I'll post it after we're done recording. And another thing they auctioned off was Freddie Walker's door. I don't know if you guys know it. If you've been to the theater, you do. There's pictures of the actors on the stage door.
Standing across the stage.
Yeah. And they auctioned off the picture from Freddie Walker's door. And it was signed by her.
That's so random.
Yeah, I was like, she's not even in the movie. Like, nobody's... Like, I don't want to insult any Freddie Walker fans out there. I just...
What has she done?
I don't know what she's done, but she's actually very nice. I met her at Rent 10.
She seems like a nice lady.
Yeah, she's very nice. And I met her that night. But, nobody really knows her who wasn't really involved with Rent in the beginning. So I really don't know why they were auctioning that off, but I don't know. Maybe people like it. I mean, it obviously went. I think they sold everything. So, but now back to our discussion of costumes.
Okay. So in the play, Maureen doesn't have an exact specific costume. However, in the movie, there's the red tango dress, which they actually had to tone down because it was too bright. The cat suit, infamous, and a few others. And people have grown to love these costumes. I have a friend who actually dressed up as Catwoman Maureen last year for Halloween.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture.
Okay, that's cool. And I actually wanted to make a comment about the infamous La Vie Boheme scene where she moons Taye Diggs and the other two. I have a story. Wait. This is a Ren 10 story. I'm sorry.
The tattoos on her butt are indeed fake.
Yes, that's what I was actually trying to say, but then I...
Oh, damn.
It's okay. But I veered off, and I was going to tell my story about Ren 10, so I'm just going to tell that now.
I wasn't there. I want to hear.
Okay. So at Ren 10, you know, Idina Menzel gets up on the table, and Taye Diggs got up from the table and went and, like, slapped her butt. It was hysterical. Yeah, it was hysterical. Like, the whole audience just, like, laughed, and it was really funny. But, yeah, so that was just my random story from Rent 10. I thought it was hysterical. But, yeah, I was trying to get at the tattoos on her butt in the movie are fake.
They had to draw them on each day. I think that's discussed in the commentary.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is, because they were talking about how people thought they were real, and then I can't remember who said it, but they said it was fake.
I believe that that Chris Columbus said it was fake, because I don't see any reason for Adam or Anthony to be talking about Adina's butt.
That would be weird.
Well, Adam, I mean, Anthony maybe, because Anthony and Adina are like biffs, so.
I know that a lot of people I know for prom last year, like girls that I know that were going to prom last year, I wasn't going to prom, I was only a sophomore, but girls I knew tried to find a dress that looked like the red tango dress, and I was like, you can't find it. It was like artificially altered to look that way. It wasn't really that color. They talk about that in the commentary, as Ashley said.
Yeah, it was just there. I was like, wait, what? It was a much brighter red, and they had to tone it down.
I thought they had to brighten it.
They had to tone it down.
Oh, okay.
I'm positive. I'll double check that.
Okay, well, we'll double check that and say it at the end of the show. But moving on, we have more characters to discuss.
Okay, Joanne, she's portrayed a little bit differently in the movie than she is in the play. As to preference, Paige?
Well, see, what we're saying by they're portrayed differently is that in the show, Joanne kind of wears, like, a more sophisticated looking look to her. I don't know what you would call it. Like, she wears kind of more blousey things, and not to, like, be sexist, but more feminine-looking clothing, whereas in the movie, Joanne's in suspenders and trench coats.
Yes.
But who do I like more? They're very different, because I heard Tracy first. I saw the movie before I saw the play, so I'm partial to the singing of Tracy Toms, but in the play, I just love the way Joanne is acted out. But I didn't see the original Joanne. I saw a new person. I don't know her name. I can't remember.
Naomi Greaves. It's my first.
Okay. And how did you like her performance?
She was pretty good. She was pretty nice in person. She was one of the only people I actually met. I met Matt Kaplan. I met her and Dustin Owens on my first day there. I absolutely deplore Tim Howard, but that's just me. I know I'm going to be beaten by all of our listeners because a lot of people like him.
I've never seen Tim Howard perform, but...
I will keep this in mind. This is only an opinion. Please do not stalk me or beat me or anything, please.
Yeah, guys, like, we're just kind of out here to have fun and everything, so, like, don't berate us for our opinions.
Hey, someone on IMDb did something that we just discussed.
Oh my god, really?
A Daphne and Rosario thread. I'm not going to read who it's by. It says, this is not a one's better than the other thread. I just want to observation. There are some who complain that Daphne wasn't Mimi in the movie, but I think this was a wise choice. Don't jump on me now, hear me out. Daphne's portrayal of Mimi was rather aggressive, but Rosario chose to make, I can't read, her portrayal of Mimi as a more innocent person. This, I believe, is a large peeve of many OBC fans, but it's my opinion that these different portrayals were good. Then she goes on, or he goes on, it's a she. I've never seen the OBC. I was much too young when they were on Broadway, but from what I've heard, Adam's portrayal of Roger in the OBC was more or less angry Roger. The movie portrayal of Roger was much more on the sad side. I call him emo Roger. So because of that, having Rosario play Mimi in the movie instead of Daphne was probably for the best. And then there's about like 10 responses to it, and I'm not going to go into that.
Yeah, because they'll probably get kind of nasty. I think I've actually read this thread. So just to comment on that, I'm going to just say my opinion. I did like Rosario, but I think she was a little high-pitched for Mimi. I think Mimi should sound a little bit more, like, not grungier, but, like, lower. Because, like, you know, she's rougher around the edges. And as for emo Roger, I, again, saw that before the play. And I actually saw Will Chase as my Roger for the first time. Yeah, he was amazing. I really liked him. And he played it similar, I thought, to the movie. So I didn't see much of a difference, but I think he might have turned happier towards the end, where Adam in the movie stayed kind of the same temperament the whole way. Okay, so more about Joanne. I like how in the play, she's kind of portrayed as more of a, like, not rebel, but, like, more against her parents. Like, I don't know who has listened to the OBC recording, but there's a whole voicemail. There's a whole voicemail where she's talking to her father, and then mother's hearing. So it's part of We're Okay, and I was getting mixed up between the voicemail and We're Okay, but in We're Okay.
Number 2, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's track 9 for anybody who missed that.
CD on the OBCR.
There we go.
Broadcast recording for those who have no idea what the heck I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, sorry. OBC always means original Broadway cast. It's just easier.
OBCR is original Broadway cast recording.
There you go. But there's that, and there's also where she's talking to both her parents, or her parents are talking to her. Yeah, her parents are talking to her. I'm sorry. And it just kind of shows that there's a little bit more tension there, and she's a little bit more go against my parents, do my own thing. Whereas in the movie, you kind of get the feeling that she's very close with her parents, the whole giving her
commitment ceremony.
During the commitment ceremony, how, like, they're so happy, Maureen's coming to their family, blah, blah, blah. And it just seems that they're a little bit more accepting in the movie than they would be in the play. But I think it's also a sign of the times changing. When Jonathan Larson wrote Rent, obviously, it was kind of still a new thing. And now, in this time period, it's a bit more accepted. Any comments, Ashley?
I agree with you.
Okay. Can you think of any characters we might have left out? I know Benny, but
Benny's really the same exact character.
Yeah, it's the same character, kind of the same display. One thing I can say about Benny is that they switched, you'll see Boys. I don't know if anybody... Yeah, they moved it. It comes... Is there?
Lost the tapes for the choreography.
This is from the commentary.
Of the choreography, like, 5 minutes before.
Right, right. Yeah, I had heard that on the commentary, as we were saying. A lot of our information comes from the commentary, in case you haven't realized.
IMDb, it all equals life.
It does, it does. And it's interesting, because you like to know these things. But, in the play, you'll see Boys comes a bit earlier, right? Earlier. It comes earlier, and it comes after a voicemail, which I love, but we can't recite it because we will be kicked off of iTunes. I'm sorry, I can't say the voicemail. I'm pretty sure it's, you know, I'm just going to go into iTunes right now and check what voicemail number it is, because, is it 2?
It's either 2 or 3.
I'm
it's
checking.
Today for you.
Yeah, it's the one right before it, as you said. I'm looking. Yeah, okay, so it's voicemail number 2. And it's just really, really good, because I think it just is really funny. Listen to it, you'll see why. But they don't do that in the movie. It's just kind of Benny pulls up and, you know, in his big car, and they have fun. They don't really have fun. They're getting kicked out of their building, so it's not fun at all. But I think it's better characterization in the show, and it kind of shows that they were friends. We're going to have an interview a little bit later on in the show, and probably another discussion. Talk now a little bit about the Life Cafe, because I find it a point of interest. And okay, so in the movie, and again, this kind of comes from the commentary a little bit, but also from personal experience. In the movie, as you all know who've watched the movie, it's really, really big, the Life Cafe. Like, you walk in this little door through the big door, and then there's like a bunch of tables, and it's like huge.
Not really.
It's
you could ever see.
It is. It's really, really small.
It's a corner cafe, though.
Yeah, it's a corner cafe, and actually, if you go to the bathroom, you can walk through another door into a Chinese restaurant.
Oh my god, really? I want to go to the bathroom there now.
So you walk in, and it's really small, but it's so cool, because like, there's like chalk on the walls saying like all different things, like celebrate life, and all these different words that end with life or start with life. I think they might have used the same tables. I'm not sure. I think they said it in the commentary, I think that they used the same tables. But the tables have, like, the covers of Life magazines on them. And in the window of the Life Cafe is, like, one of the original Rent posters, which is kind of cool. I'm allergic to dairy, so I can get a soy latte there.
Ooh, fun fact. Fun fact. The word two is said or sung 55 times in Love People M, A, and B.
That's interesting. So more about the, let's see, what else can I tell you about the Life Cafe?
Really, 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 really small.
Yes, it's not, like, cramped. Like, okay, we're gonna make people think it's, like, really, really cramped, but it's not, I promise. Like, you have enough room to breathe, and, like, you're not on top of one another. It's just, like, not anything compared to what they show you in the movie. The Real Life Cafe is on the corner of Avenue B and 10th Avenue. I recommend the grilled cheese sandwich with the chipotle mayo. It's amazing. Wait, I said grilled cheese, didn't I? It's not grilled cheese, it's grilled chicken.
There you go.
It's a grilled chicken sandwich on a baguette with chipotle mayo, and it's really, really, really good.
What's a chipotle mayo?
It's like spicy mayo. It's really, really good.
Spicy mayo.
But it's not like...
spicy mayo?
Yes, it comes on the side.
Very nice.
Yes, and I always get it with my soy chai latte, and that's like what I get every time I go... So, also, a fun fact, if you do go to the Life Cafe, across the street, I'm going to tell you exactly how to get to where they filmed I'll Cover You, because I walked this walk, like, I stood in the exact spot and took a picture.
There is no real subway station.
No.
Because Tracy Toms did, and there isn't one.
Yeah, there's no subway station, don't look for it. Okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to walk down from the Life Cafe corner to the second apartment. There's like a bike rack in front of it. Then you're gonna walk exactly across the street. You'll be in front of a park, like a basketball court, and that is where they filmed it.
Nice.
Ashley is our webmaster for like the real website, the freewebs.com/shootwithoutascript. Yeah, so that's what she runs, and she's just updated it, so go take a look. I run the download page, and she runs the Shoot Without a Script main page on MySpace.
Hey kids, Ashley has no life, so Ashley does this.
Paige has a life and still fits this in, because I just love Rent that much, so hopefully you do too when you listen to this, because we put a lot of work into it. You know what, I think we're gonna reveal our special interview at the end of the show, because I can't hold it in anymore, can you?
Which interview, the one for tonight or the one...
The one for November. We're going to say that at the end of the show. Is that okay?
That is perfectly fine with me. You're the one who's doing it. You would make the call.
Okay, so we'll announce that at the very end of the show, because I'm just so excited.
That means Ashley, take it off of the page right now.
Yeah, oh my god, you had it on the page?
On our website, but no one ever looks there.
Yeah, that's true. Nobody really looks there, but go look there. Ashley puts so much work into it, and it's really cool, and there's like songs... There's songs on, like, each page that go with each character, and there's, like, pictures.
About 5 hours making this website.
5 hours of her life gone, people. Go look at that website. We were supposed to be interviewing a person tonight, Her name is Melissa Anelli. I don't know if there's any Harry Potter fans out there, but she's kind of like queen of the Harry Potter world. She runs the Leaky Cauldron website. She hosts Pottercast, which is an amazing Harry Potter podcast. And they're enjoying it with MuggleCast, which is MuggleNet.com's podcast for Harry Potter. And together they do a joint podcast called The Leaky Mug. They have a website, actually, www.theleakymug.com. Yeah, and she is one of, like, the original Rentheads. I'm actually going to read a quote from Without You, the acknowledgement section. Without You is Anthony Rapp's autobiographical book, A Memoir of Love, Loss, and the Musical Rent. It's an amazing book. You should all read it. Definitely not for children.
The quote.
It's in the acknowledgement section, and this is just to show how important Melissa and Ellie was in the early Renthead fandom. Yeah. For reading early chapters and offering invaluable insight and criticism, I thank, and then there's a bunch of names, but one of them is Melissa Anelli. So she's who we were supposed to be interviewing tonight. Hopefully we'll have this sometime soon. Melissa actually was on the official Rent podcast.
Siteforrent.com podcast thing. It's an interview with Melissa Anelli and some guy who was an original Renthead as well.
Yeah, and she talks very much about her relationship with Anthony, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, but we'll have that for you some other time.
/ Freddie Walker / Joanne. Well, I had no opinion whatsoever.
Okay.
Joanne is not one of my favorite characters, but that's just me.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like her, but I kind of do. I think she's a cool character, especially... I really like the Joanne in the show. I'm starting to realize that as I think about it now. I used to just be like half and half, but now that I'm really thinking about it, I really like the one in the show because, like, she becomes friends with Mark in the show because, like, in...
Hoist the lion to the fire escape and tie off at that bench. I can't take him as chum. Start hoisting one.
Yep. In Happy New Year, that's the line. She shows up after... See, in the show, Maureen and Joanne... break up like a million and one times more than they do in the movie. Yeah, it's just like once in the movie and she's still kind of there, but in the show it's like a million and one times, like they're always fighting and then they're back together and then they're fighting and then they're back together. But she shows up after one of their first fights and it's like she's all friends with Mark and it's really cool. Like it just shows that she really becomes part of the group, whereas in the movie she does, but you never really see it.
They just have, like, their little on and off moments, but...
Exactly.
They're fighting, but they're not broken up. They're just fighting.
Exactly. And I don't know if any of you have seen it with the Broadway show. With
Broadway show?
Yeah, with Matt Kaplan. I know Ashley and I have. But Matt Kaplan did an amazing job with Mark in the Tango Maureen scene. Like, it's hysterical. He just made you want to laugh so hard. It was really, really good.
What I've heard was amazing was Anthony Rapp at Rent 10.
It was so good.
Like, he put her arm out to Freddie to do it, and she's like, oy vey. And she put her hair up, and they tangoed, and it was...
Yeah, she took, like, this whole big process. Like, she rolled up her sleeves, and then, like, she put her hair up. And it was just, like, a moment where it was, like, you can tell that this is, like, going to be awesome. And it was. Like, they really tangoed. Like, okay, not to go back to the commentary, but... In the commentary, Anthony Rapp makes a comment of how he really had to learn how to tango. And, like, that's real tangoing. Like, he wanted to make sure people knew that it wasn't, like, a dancer going in for him to do, like, the shots of his feet.
Yeah, that was all done in one shot.
Yeah, it was one continuous shot. That was one thing that... I don't know if any of you are, like, film critics-to-be, but, they talk about it in the commentary. Yeah, the commentary.
Commentary. This is like the commentary on podcast.
It is. But you know what? It's fun because it's from two real people. It's not coming from Chris Columbus. It's coming from me and you and what?
You said me and you and I said my dog Blue.
Me and you and my dog Blue. We can do anything that we wanna do. Okay, we are.
Too much fun.
Wow, people, don't you just want to meet us?
We really should, like, have, like, one big meet and greet. What about it's cold, be cold outside?
What?
What about it being cold outside?
I didn't say anything about it being cold outside.
Oh, I heard, from what I heard, it's freaking cold outside. okay?
No, I didn't say that.
I was confused. Ashley has hearing problems. End of story.
Okay. So that's an idea, the live meet and greet. Like, you know, send us feedback. If you want that, we can make it happen. As for renting out someplace, we would need money to do that. So also, we were thinking of t-shirts. So send us emails if you would be interested in buying a t-shirt, because we're not going to invest money in making them unless people are going to buy them. So, you know, let us know what you want, because this is your podcast too. We want your feedback to be really incorporated in this. I mean, rent's all about, you know, community and being together. So this podcast. Yes, you are this podcast, as Ashley said. And so, like, we want it to be a community, and we want it to be open for your feedback to be incorporated into the show. So just let us know, because we can't do anything if you don't talk to us. I think we should be wrapping it up soon.
Sure thing.
So let me make my drum roll, please.
Make drum roll. Brrr.
We will be interviewing Will Chase on November 21st. I'm going to speak a little. Yes. Well, I will be, because I don't know. I just am doing it alone.
I can't get to there.
Right. Because I'm not giving away. I don't know if I should give away the location. We might be stalked.
No, don't. Just say interviewing Will Chase.
Okay. Well, I want to give them a little bit of background information. We'll be interviewing. No, I keep saying we. I will be interviewing Will Chase on November 21st. So the actual interview should be released on the feed probably by like the 25th, because the 23rd is Thanksgiving. I'm not going to release it on Thanksgiving, even though that'll be kind of cool, like a gift.
Thanksgiving turkey special.
Yeah, but I'm not, because I spent Thanksgiving with my family, and so it won't be released that day, and probably not the day after, because we might be doing some
plan for that day.
Yeah, we might have something for the day after. I'm not revealing it yet, because it's not definite.
Yes, and we have to talk to said person about thing.
Yes, but as for the Will Chase interview, let me give you a little background on him. He was in Rent last year in January. He was my first Roger. And he came in between Tim Hauer and Joshua Kobach. In case any of you want to know that little fact. He was amazing. I saw him. He was really, really good. Actually, I have a little personal story. I don't know if I should share this, because because I'm going to be meeting him, and I don't want him to be like, wow, you're cool. But, actually, oh, wow, I have two stories. That's so cool. I was sitting in the audience, and my cousin got me tickets for Christmas. Sorry. And so we got, like, second row tickets. Like, if the first row wasn't for student rush, it would have been first row. But, obviously, it couldn't be first row. So we were in the second row, and it's Seasons of Love B. And right at the part where they go, like, in spoke wheels in speeding tickets, I was like smiling so hard, like I seriously, like my face was about to like break in half from how.
Why?
Because I was just so excited to be there. Like I had watched the movie like day after day for so long, and I was finally seeing it live, and I was just so excited, and I had this huge smile on my face, and he looked right at me.
Matt Kaplan did that with my friend and I when we saw it the first time.
Aww. Yeah, but he looked right at me, and, like, then he just, I guess he saw my huge smile. I probably looked pretty stupid, but, and he started to smile, and it was like, oh, my God, he saw me! It was it was really exciting. And then after the show, I went to meet him outside, like, you know, at the stage door, and as I'm asking him to sign my playbill and take a picture, my mom screams, make sure you say thank you!
For what?
For the picture and autograph. I don't know. But so he heard her, and he was like, was that your mom? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, cool. And I was like, yeah. It was an embarrassing moment of my life.
I have that Kaplan story.
Ooh, share.
Okay, so when I saw Friends in the Blizzard, February 12th, 2006, this year, my friends were not very savvy on the cast, and I was. So I was standing against the wall inside because I wasn't going outside. It was freezing. You know, there's snow on the ground, a lot of it. That's why it's called a blizzard. That's why I couldn't get home that night. I had to wait 3 hours for a train to get home. But anyway, so Matt Kaplan comes walking out, and he just, like, glances at us, and I go, great show. And he goes, and he, like, does, like, a whole little, like, flips his chin up at me and goes, thanks. Just keeps walking. My five friends who are with me look at me and go, who was that? And I'm like, Matt Kaplan. They're like, who? And I'm like, he played Mark, you dumb, I'm not going to say the A word, butts. And they're like, can we go stalk him to get autographs? And I'm like, no. They wanted to stalk him.
I have a.
I didn't know who he was, and I did.
That's funny.
We didn't wait for anybody else. Cold.
Well, yeah, you went in a blizzard.
It wasn't my fault. We bought our tickets beforehand. You blizzard.
Very cool. So we might have t-shirts soon, people. But I have a funny Matt Kaplan story, and then I'm going to go back to talking about Will Chase, because I know you're just dying to know who he is and what he's all about. But my Matt Kaplan story is, on that same day after I had said goodbye to Will Chase and, you know, had embarrassed myself, my cousin goes to me, Paige, that's Matt Kaplan. If you want his autograph, go. Because he was walking kind of away from the theater. It looked like he was leaving. So I, like, ran to him. And mind you, this is the same day I was in my hooker boots and short skirt. I almost fell down a sewer. So I'm running after him. And I'm like, excuse me, could you sign my playbill and take a picture? And I didn't shout it. But, like, I think I said it really loudly because I was just so excited. And he turns around and he's on the phone. He was so nice. He, like, put the phone to his shoulder. And he was like, you know, like, how people, like, put up, like, you know, their one finger and go, like, 1 second, like, they mouth it. Well, that's what he did to me, and then, like, he kind of hung up on the phone. And in the picture, like, you could actually see his phone. Like, he's, like, putting it away as we snapped the picture. It was hysterical. And, like, I'll forever remember that story. I can't wait to actually speak to him about that. I'll be like, hey, I'm the one who talked to you while you were on the phone.
And I'm going to be like, hey, I'm the one who recognized you in the blizzard.
Hey, we have very memorable stories.
Yes, we do. Matt Kaplan equals life. He was Mark for, like, what, 7 years?
7 years. It was 7 years. His last show was actually, I could have gone to see it because I was in the city, but I was seeing Wicked that day.
Wicked, Rent, they're both amazing.
They are, and it was Matt Kaplan's last show, and I really wanted to be there, but I couldn't because I had gotten those tickets in December for Wicked.
But Christopher J. Hanke's hot, though.
Yes, I actually, well, here's my story about Chris Hanke. So I was at the Broadway flea market, and I was about to go into a restaurant called Junior's. I don't know if anybody knows it. That's where they were doing the meet and greets right outside. So, like, everybody, like, all the big people were in that area. And I see this guy walking past me and my cousin. Yeah, this cousin goes with me everywhere. It's the same cousin I keep talking about.
He's doing that thing with us in a couple months.
Yeah, the one that might go with us to the special thing about the thing that we're not going to announce right now.
Yes. Secretive, because all of our listeners are like, oh my god, what are they doing?
You see, this is a trick. We're trying to keep you interested.
I think it's working.
It definitely is. They all want to know who we're interviewing, but we're not releasing that. But anyway, so this guy with, like, kind of blondish hair is walking past us, and I look at him. I only saw the back of his head, and so we're looking at him.
Hot back of his head?
Yes, he did. He had a very hot back of the head, and... And so he's walking past us, and my cousin and I are just saying, wow, that guy was really good looking. And then I do a double take, and I'm like, Michelle, that's the new Mark. And she's like, no. And I was like, yes, it is. It's the new Mark. So we go up to him, and we're like, I didn't want to ask it because I knew it was him. I knew it was him. And my cousin goes, hey, are you the guy who plays Mark and Ryan? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, I told you, Michelle. And I said it very calmly. And then we took our pictures and we went back in the restaurant. But as we're walking into the restaurant, I'm going, I told you. I knew it was him. You didn't believe me. I knew it. And up behind me walks Chris Hanke. As I'm ranting and raving of how I knew it was him. It was probably the most embarrassing moment of my life.
Yeah.
It was hysterical. Like, I was just, like, ranting and raving, and he just kind of looked at me and smiled, and I was like, yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, he's gorgeous.
He really is. He is gorgeous. And, I haven't seen his headshot.
It's like, dark and light at the same time. It's annoying.
Well, apparently his headshot does him no justice because he is gorgeous. I don't know how many... What?
Sorry. I just went onto the Rent website and the music started blasting.
Oh, listen, listen! Play it. I was going to hold the microphone up. Okay. So, basically, about Will Chase, we're going to go back to him now. He is currently starring in High Fidelity. It did a run up in Boston. It was very successful. And now it's going to do a run in New York. It's going to be at the Imperial Theater, or Imperial, depending on how you pronounce it.
That's 45th Street in between 7th and 8th Avenue.
Yeah.
Across the street from Avenue Q.
Right.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels used to be there.
And before Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, Les Mis opened there.
Yes.
So that's a very famous theater. Many great shows have been in it. So good luck to them with their run, or I guess break a leg.
And Wedding Singer is right down the street, sorry.
And that will be there till December 31st. Constantine's currently in it until December 3rd. Yeah, the 3rd. Yeah, Constantine was in the tour of Rent, so, you know, you could go check out Wedding Singer if you're interested in Rent alumni.
I'm not going to lie.
I told you he was good.
No, I didn't not believe you, but I didn't want to hear it until I saw it for myself.
I can understand that.
Because, like, I want to have my own opinions and not what other people say.
That's a very good point. That's why I really didn't talk much about Tim Howard, because I have never seen him. But, so back to Will Chase. I'm sorry, we keep going off on tangents, so I'm just going to go straight through right now. It is what we do as two girls. But, so Will Chase. He's starring in High Fidelity as the character Rob. I don't really know a good description of the show. I can only tell you what the website said. And basically, Rob is this record store owner who knows a bunch of stuff about pop music, but he doesn't really know how to keep a relationship going strong. So every big relationship he's ever had has ended. Not to mention he's a really big, like, top five list maker at Broadway on Broadway. They sang a song from High Fidelity. It was amazing. Will Chase has brown hair for this show. I love him with the brown hair. I just have to mention that. I know I'm a dork. Stop calling me a dork, though. It's just a known fact. Everybody just know I'm a dork. Whatever. I'm going to continue to talk about Will Chase, because...
Because we haven't talked about him recently.
Well, no. There's more to say. I wanted to give a full description. We're going to have the interview with him. And he's in High Fidelity. I said that. P.S. Matt Kaplan's also in High Fidelity. He doesn't have a large role, but he's in it. You can go to... I Google it every time because I forget the website, but I think it's www. Oh my god, that was so loud. Wait, I have to finish about Will Chase. Sorry, we just had a meltdown here. So Will Chase, right. The website is www.top5breakups.com. I recommend you watch the video. It's amazing. It's all about, it's like a really good song. It's the song they sang at Broadway on Broadway. I'm pretty sure it's called like the top five breakups or something like that. Number top five island, desert island breakups. I don't know what the song is called, but something along those lines. And it's all about how his girlfriend Laura doesn't even make the list of his top five breakups, but it's very cool. It's a good video. Watch it. More about Will Chase. He was Roger in Rent. That's why we're interviewing him. But besides that, he was in Aida as Radames. I don't know how to pronounce Radames. There you go. He was Radames. And it's actually kind of funny because Adam Pascal originated both of those roles.
Yes, he did. So in Rent, he sings the song One Song Glory. And in Aida, he sings the song... he goes, we have swept to glory. And I'm like, do they really say the word glory? Like,
that's really funny.
Because he sings it the same way. I'll send you the song. It's called Fortune Favors the Brave. It's second track on Aida.
Wow.
See.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. I love the song Elaborate Lives, though.
I like Every Story's a Love Story and My Strongest Suit. And Fortune Favors the Brave.
Never heard them, but send them. Oh, speaking of music, at the end of this show, last episode, I promised songs from Daphne Ruben Vega and Anthony Rapp's solo CDs. So I'm going to put one song from each of them, because now that Daphne released hers in stores, so I don't want to jeopardize her sales. So I'm
scare you again, but aha!
What's aha? Stop saying aha!
Okay. Well, we forgot something.
What did we forget?
Discussing Angel. Like, Wilson Germain Heredia, where is he now? We completely forgot it.
Wow. Okay, we got so involved in our discussion that we forgot. We're at an hour and 20-minute discussion without even putting in our main facts.
Yeah, but this is also... We also were talking for like half an hour before we even started recording.
That's true. Okay, so let me just finish this announcement, and then we'll go back, and you can do your piece on Angel, and we'll discuss. But, so I'm going to put one song from each of their CDs at the end of this recording. Hope you enjoy it. It's like my gift to you for Halloween. Yes, it's our gift to you. More Halloween.
Yes,
happy Halloween. It's a little late, but, you know, people are still having Halloween parties tonight, so.
This is true.
So, you know.
Oh my God, remember when I was hysterical laughing like 5 minutes ago?
Yeah.
I'm tearing. I'm like have tears running down my face. I was laughing so hard.
Let me just wrap up about Will Chase. He originated the role of Lennon a few months ago in the play Lennon. It was short-lived, but I heard it was really good.
Well, In My Life was even shorter-lived.
Was that with Will Chase?
That was with Christopher J. Hanke.
Oh, okay. So that's a little...
It's open 2 months.
Little fun fact about Christopher Hanke. But we're talking about Will Chase right now. So he was in Lennon. It was short-lived. I don't know the exact amount of time, but it wasn't very long. What else can I say about Will Chase? He's married. He has 2 daughters. We're interviewing him on the 21st. It's going to be a great interview. There's going to be a contest. We're hoping to have him sign either, if we have t-shirts by then, a shirt or a headshot of himself, and we will be having a contest where that is the prize. And now Ashley is going to give her little piece all about Angel. Where Wilson is now. Take it away.
Wilson Jeremiah. And I laughed.
Oh, well, I had a typo.
You're Wilson Jeremiah Heredia.
Okay, well, I had a typo. Do your piece.
Okay, my piece. Wilson Jermaine Heredia was Angel in Rent, as most of you should know by now. We've only talked about him. We talked about him like an hour ago. He just finished filming a movie called Descent, or so IMDb tells me. And it was supposed to have been released like August. I'm guessing it wasn't a very well-known movie if it was released, because people claim that they've seen it. So, yeah. Your turn.
Oh. Okay. More about Wilson. He... not in real life. In fact, he's straight in real life. He's very nice. I met him at Ren 10. I took a picture with him. It looks like a wedding picture, actually. I've been told it looks... Yeah. He's, like, really nice. And he... My friend... No, actually, he's pretty short.
Well, it's the boots.
Yeah.
I have a story. Ooh, aha!
This episode is going to be titled, Aha!
Okay, I have a fun fact about Wilson / his boots / this. I have to take a second. Hang on. Okay, I'm good. So apparently they only did like 3 takes.
Two. It was 2 takes.
Jumping on the table.
2 takes. 2 takes. 2 takes. 2 takes.
2 takes. Because on the 3rd take, he banged his knees or calves or shins or something. I'm done.
Yeah, I was actually going to say that. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was going to say that. They did 2 takes, because the first time he got right, the second time he hit his knee. So there you go. It was 2nd. There was only 2 takes.
Shut up.
Fine. It's on the commentary.
Listen to the commentary, and you don't even have to listen to us, even though we love having you listen.
But we give you more fun facts than the commentary. You get personal...
A lot more fun than they do on the commentary.
Yeah, we have personal stories.
Yes, we do.
So my personal story. He was really funny and really nice. And he, if you go to my personal MySpace, I have the picture on there.
Number 2 on the regular page.
Go check that little personal fact of mine out.
It's not private, but I accept everyone. So add me.
Yeah, I accept pretty much anybody, too. It would be kind of cool to get some comments from listeners.
You are. Now I'm going to send you a message saying, how did you find my MySpace and who are you?
Yeah.
I know that you found me from the Rent podcast, because...
Let us know you're a listener. We'll comment you back. Like, I don't... If somebody adds me and I don't know who they are, I'll just add them so my friend count goes up. But if you tell me you're a listener, I'll comment you back and be like, hey, thanks for listening.
Me too. I do the exact same thing.
Yeah, so there you go. What else can I tell you about Wilson? He's very good looking, actually, in person. All throughout Run 10, he was actually in, like, regular clothing.
Except for
Today For You. He wore the Christmas outfit, the Santa outfit. But,
Oh my God, it does look like a wedding picture.
I told you.
Who else did you meet?
I met Anthony Rapp, but he wouldn't take pictures because he wanted to be fair to everyone, and he knew everybody he signed wouldn't get a picture. So, to be fair to everyone, he was like, I'm not taking pictures tonight, I'm only autographing things.
Understandable.
But there's actually a girl in a wheelchair there, and he was very nice to her. Like, they had met him at a book signing, apparently. I was eavesdropping on their conversation. They cut me in line. They cut me in line. How could I not eavesdrop? Well, no. It was like, run, find them, crowd around them, and beat down who you could. But I let them go in front of me. So, and they were talking to him for a while, and I was listening, and apparently they had met him before, and he was very nice to her, and, like, the girl, like, adores him, and it was very nice. Like, he spent a lot of time with these people. It was really nice of him. Who else did I meet? I met Daphne Rubin-Vega. That's very cool.
She's short.
She is extremely short, but she was very nice. Like, she was actually on her way out the door, and because I stopped her, she actually designed, like, 5 other more people.
That happened to me. Third time I saw a wedding singer, Rita Gardner, was trying to walk out. And I'm like, Rita, can you just please sign this for me really quick and take a picture? She did. And then about, like, 10 people crowded around her because she likes to leave without signing. I'm like, oh, my God, I feel really bad.
Yeah, I felt really bad because she was, like, on her way out the door. And I was like, Daphne! And I, like, screamed it because I really wanted to meet her because I like her Mimi because I have a low voice. And I can sing her Mimi better than I can sing Rosario's because I kind of crack when I try to sing Rosario's. But I don't crack for Daphne's version. So
my vocal range is pretty high, thank God.
I'm alto. I'm low alto all the way. So I appreciate Daphne's version, and I wanted to tell her that. I never actually did because I got really, like...
I've got the range of Idina Menzel.
Oh, well, aren't you Miss Showy?
Yes, I am. Idina Menzel's like my hero.
I know. Oh, yes. So who else did I meet? No, we're done with... He was really nice, and I'm trying to think of who else I met at Run 10 that's, like, significant. No, Idina apparently went in, but I missed her. Like, we really thought that she didn't come, but apparently she was there. Like, there's pictures of her at the party, so, like, she was definitely there. But at one point, we walked to the back to see if anybody had come in through the back, but apparently they were all coming in through the front to take pictures by the Target sign, because Target was, like, a main sponsor. Yeah, so they went there, and apparently, like, they took the picture, talked to somebody for, like, 5 minutes, and left.
Ew.
Yeah. And...
I'm a hardcore Idina fan, so...
So I didn't get to meet Idina. I didn't... Actually, the 3 main people that you would really want to meet didn't come. Jesse L. Martin didn't come. And Adam didn't come. But actually... There was a reason posted somewhere. The next day, actually, he moved to California. In case anybody didn't know that, Adam moved to California. No, Adam.
Oh, what was it?
No. Adam, the day after Run 10, moved to California with his whole family. So, and his son was sick, and so was he. Actually, you can tell he was sick if you... Yeah, I don't know if you can find... legal recording of Run 10 because
no such thing.
No. There was BroadwayWorld.com, I think, had a video clip of him singing One Song Glory. Uh-huh. And if you listen to it,
just let Ashley find it right now in her computer.
Yeah, she's amazing at finding these things.
Ashley has everything you could possibly ever want.
No, that's true. She has every bit of BroadwayWorld.com clips you could imagine. So basically, if you listen to that and you know Adam's voice when he's not sick, you can hear that he's, like, not himself. So it's okay that he didn't come. I was really mad that he didn't, but then I found out he was sick and he was moving. I emailed him, like, 2 days after. And I was like, I wanted to see you in person and tell you how amazing you are. So I couldn't do that because you didn't come to the party. So I thought I would email you. And okay, so it wasn't, I actually forgot I emailed him. But like 2 months later, I got an email back from him saying, yeah, I moved to California. It was a successful move. Thanks for the email. And I can't remember how he signed it, but it was signed Adam Pascal. And it was from, it wasn't from the official email. It was from his personal email account, I guess you could say. So just putting that up.
It.
Okay, well then play it.
Ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. There, I gave a snippet.
Good, and I'm so glad you stopped it where you did, because that last note I thought was amazing, the way he ended it, that note right there. It's very different from the way he usually does it, because he usually does like kind of like the... Yeah, he usually does that like drop-down thing, but he went straight up.
Down riff, and he did an up riff.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, he's cool like that.
Do we have anything more to say about Wilson?
I believe that we covered Wilson...
Yeah, okay, so that's Wilson. And now we're just going to discuss a little bit about Angel.
We've been doing this for an hour and a half.
I know, this is going to be like the longest episode ever.
Okay, ready? I'm going to summarize my thoughts on Angel. Angel Rock My Socks is one of my favorites. I got really, 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 really sad when he died. I cried. The end. I'm done.
Oh my god, that's so not a discussion.
That's a one-sided conversation.
Yeah, so here's my thoughts on Angel. He's amazing. He's the life of the show. Everybody loves him. It is really, really, really sad when he dies. There's a whole number that they took out of the movie called Contact. It's...
They took it out of the movie for a good reason. They didn't want the R rating.
Yeah, it would have gotten it the R rating. And it kind of makes you uncomfortable while watching it. It's not my favorite scene whatsoever.
It's so funny. I have a story.
Aha! Okay, say the story.
Aha!
Aha!
That's our new inside joke. Okay. So I was in my grandma's house in Florida, and my best friend was with me, and she's the one who turned me on to Rent in the first place. And she and I had to bring our Rent CDs. So we played them in my grandma's car. We get to Contact, and I would fast forward it every time. Every time. My grandma's like, what's that one that you keep fast forwarding? And I'm like, you don't want to know. She's like, no, play it. I played it. And she hasn't said a word about music I play since.
Wow. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, she refused to see the movie. She's like, I don't want to see people having an orgy. cut it out!
Yeah, it's not in the movie. For good reason. I don't know everybody. I can't speak for everyone. But I know most people I talk to really don't like it. And I'm sorry if you like it. We're totally bashing it right now.
I don't like the whole...
I like the part where Angel's all alone and, like, he's basically dying.
To
Take me. Take me. Yeah.
Oh, that part.
Yeah, that part. It's pretty good.
It kinda just goes on. Take me, I love you. And then it just goes on.
Yeah, it's actually, it's a really good snippet for Wilson's voice. But otherwise, the whole rest of it is just kind of uncomfortable. Though, I do have a story. Rent 10. None of them were in costume, and there was no choreography. It was just all of them standing on the front of the stage in a little huddle, reading from their lyric books. It was the funniest thing in the world. Like, reading, like, hot. Like,
is that, you know, the ending when Angel pulls the white sheet and he walks off, and it's really symbolic, and it makes me cry every time.
Yeah, it is sad. The ending is amazing, and it's sad. But the beginning of it is just a little uncomfortable.
Weird, because there's, like, people sweating and humping things, and...
Yeah, so let's keep this PG. Yeah, PG rating here. So, basically, we don't like contact, but we like Wilson's part of contact.
Wilson makes contact available, like, bleh. Wilson makes contact worth listening to on the CD.
Exactly.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Also, another thing about difference from movie to play. In the play, actually, the movie had an alternate ending in the deleted scenes.
I liked the alternate ending better.
It's more like the play.
Yes.
So let's give a synopsis here. What?
I said, I love the alternate ending. Bring it back.
Yeah, the alternate ending is really good. I like both, though. I like both. Because, see, in the ending that's actually in the movie, it's... You know, they're watching Mark's film at the end, and, you know, Collins kind of slaps Mark on the back, like, good job, buddy. And they watch it, and the last frame you see is
them all standing there.
No. Wait. No, I'm not talking about the alternate. I'm talking about the real one.
Oh.
So in the real one, like I said, they're watching the film, and the last frame you see is Angel... kind of just like waving on Mark's camera, and then it goes to black and the credits. It is the most greatest yet spookiest and haunting picture in that film.
It is. Alternate ending time. Okay, so in the alternate ending, if you haven't watched it, kind of like you should listen to the commentary, and you should see this alternate ending and deleted scenes, because you have to just explore this DVD because there's so much on it. It blacks out of them watching the film instead of zooming in on the film, and they end up on the stage where they were at the beginning, singing Seasons of Love, and they are all there except for Angel, who is just a spotlight on his place. Angel then walks on, and he does this really thing, like he walks behind all of them and stands in his place, but as he's passing Jesse / Tom Collins, he touches his hand, and it just makes me bawl. Like, thinking about it right now, I almost have tears in my eyes.
Yeah, that's also a really, like, sad, poetic, potent scene. Like, it's just, they're both really good, and really, they stick in your head. They stick in your head.
Look at him, and it's like, you know...
It's kind of like that. It's kind of like the whole message of Rent coming to be, like, you know, like life and love. And it's just like, you know, love never ends. It's just always there. Like, Angel will always be there with them, even though he's not alive.
He's alive if you believe he's alive. Kind of like Jonathan Larson.
Exactly.
Jonathan Larson is still alive because he has his shows.
He's alive through his shows. We're not saying he's alive and they faked his death.
I'm saying he's spiritually alive.
Yeah, I got what you're saying. I just wanted to clear it up to make sure we didn't get people, like, emailing us. Yeah, I just didn't want to, like, you know, get people going at us and be like, what are you talking about? He's alive, like, through the show.
Call the guys in the white coats. They're coming to get you.
Yeah, so what she meant was he's alive through the show. And actually, Tick, Tick, Boom has been...
It's his show.
Yeah, it's his show. And it's been done quite a few times.
I believe.
Yeah, I think it's touring right now, and you can actually buy the album on iTunes. I bought one of the songs called Bohemia, because
it's called
Boho Days. Thank you. But the main line is Bohemia. It's really good.
Are you aware that is Jonathan Larson singing that?
That's why I bought it. Yeah, I bought the song because it was Jonathan Larson singing it on the album, and I just thought that was so cool. Because over the past couple of months, I have watched the special features and the documentary on Jonathan Larson, which is on the DVD. But yeah, during the past months, I watched the documentary about Jonathan Larson, which is on the DVD. And I don't want to be like, I know him, but because I didn't and I don't. But I felt like I knew him. And then by reading Without You, you get such a personal look at him through Anthony Rapp's eyes. I really, really felt like I knew this man. And when I... What?
When you watched the Doohickey and Bopper?
The documentary?
Yeah, when they talked about Jonathan dying.
Yes. Yes.
Started hysterical crying. I was with my boyfriend when I watched it. My boyfriend at the time. And I just started crying. And he's like, why are you crying? And I'm like, Jonathan, die!
Yeah, I actually have a similar story.
10 years ago.
I have a similar story. When I was reading Without You, there's the part, and Anthony Rapp goes detail by detail of the night Jonathan died. And, you know, that night where they all went to the theater and did opening night without him. And it was just his friends and family there. And I finished that chapter right before I went to sleep, and I went to sleep in tears. Like, I just felt like I was there, and it was so sad. Like, I couldn't speak. Like, I just felt like I had lost my best friend.
The way they do it just fills you with such emotion. Like, this
it really does.
Story.
It really does, and it's sad. Like, I'm actually. But and we're.
People are actually still listening to this point.
Oh, they are. They want to hear this.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. We put so much work into this, and we really hope you enjoy it. That's why we really like the feedback. We haven't been getting any. But just, you know, send us a quick email or a comment on the MySpace, because it's important that we hear what you like and what you don't. Like, if you want less personal stories, we'll stop talking about our personal lives. We don't care if you don't want to hear it. It's fine. We don't have to share. Yeah, we still love you.
I was like,
You like stopped for a second. I was like, what?
No, my mom's boyfriend just yelled at me like, did you know that you haven't eaten dinner yet? It's 9 o'clock.
I know, it's 9 o'clock. It's like so late. Oh my God. But, so just to wrap it up, we have a bunch of announcements going on. It will all be posted on the website. I'm going to add on a track from Daphne's CD and a track from Anthony's CD. And once again, I'm Paige.
I'm Ashley.
And we'll talk to you.
Out, out, damn spot. John's conscience would return to him in time. John lived a lie that started out white and benign. If you want to know the truth about my life, it's a mess, it's a mess, it's a mess, it's a mess. If you want to know the truth about my life, I confess, I confess, I confess, I confess. If you want to know the truth about my life, it's in disarray. I wish you met me earlier than today. John checked his hat, his coat, his mind, and somehow now the ticket stub he cannot find. John only dabbled, he babbled, and somewhat unraveled. He never really looked me in the eye. If you want to know the truth about my life, it's a sham, it's a sham, it's a sham, it's a sham. If you want to know the truth about my life, it's a sham, it's a sham, it's a sham. If you want to know the truth about the truth, it's a scam, it's a scam, it's a scam, it's a scam. I wish you met me earlier when I was outside and I was feeding the pigeons. They were flying around. It was really pretty outside. Where did my friends go? It seems so nice I have so many. Where did my ends go? It seems I used to make them meet and now I'm so incomplete. When the snow turned to snow.
it's a mess, it's a mess, it's a mess. If you want to know the truth about my life, it's a mess, it's a mess, it's a mess. If you want to know the truth about my life, I confess, I confess, I confess, I confess. If you want to know the truth about my life, it's a sham, it's a sham, it's a sham. If you want to know the truth about my life, it's a scam, it's a scam, it's a scam, it's a scam. If you want to know the truth about my life, it's a wreck, it's a wreck, it's a wreck. If you want to know the truth about my life, I'm in check, I'm in check, I'm in check, I'm in check.
Okay, so this first song is by Anthony Rapp, and it's called Out Out Damn Spot, and it's from his album. Okay, this next song is from Daphne Rubin Vega's new CD called Redemption Songs, and the song we're gonna play is called Mental Tenant. So I hope you enjoy. Look around, and it was given out at Rent. here you go.
Can I tell them my story from why we delayed starting?
Oh, God, yeah. Tell the story.
Okay. So I was sitting there, and Paige is trying to connect with me over Skype so that we can record, because this is how we record, because she lives in New Jersey, I live in New York. We're not meeting up, like, in the city to record, like, right in the middle, whatever. So my microphone is not working. I am screaming into my microphone after we're connected. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. I can't hear myself. I can't hear what Paige is saying. I don't even know if she's hearing me. So I'm like, oh, crap, I can't hear. This isn't good. We have an interview tonight. Oh, my God. Start flipping. My mother, being, I'm not going to go into whatever about her, but she goes into this thing, and she goes, are you sure your volume's turned on? So I'm turning the volume up on my keyboard, like, you know, the volume down, volume up buttons. I'm turning it up. Nothing. So I'm screaming again at Paige. Paige, I can't hear you. Oh, my God, I'm flipping out. This sucks. So my mom's like, try pressing the unmute button. I press the unmute button, and Paige is talking at me, and she's screaming because my volume's turned up all the way. And I explained to her that the reason I couldn't hear her was because my computer was on mute.
Yeah, it was really funny. Like, I had to go on AIM and be like, I can hear you. I can hear you. It was so funny. I was like, wow.
Can I tell them my story from why we delayed starting?
Oh, God. Yeah. Tell the story.
Okay. So I was sitting there, and Paige is trying to connect with me over Skype so that we can record, because this is how we record, because she lives in New Jersey, I live in New York. We're not meeting up, like, in the city to record, like, right in the middle, whatever. So my microphone is not working. I am screaming into my microphone after we're connected. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. I can't hear myself. I can't hear what Paige is saying. I don't even know if she's hearing me. So I'm like, oh, crap, I can't hear. This isn't good. We have an interview tonight. Oh, my God. Start flipping. My mother, being, I'm not going to go into whatever about her, but she goes into this thing, and she goes, are you sure your volume's turned on? So I'm turning the volume up on my keyboard, like, you know, the volume down, volume up buttons. I'm turning it up. Nothing. So I'm screaming again at Paige. Paige, I can't hear you. Oh, my God, I'm flipping out. This sucks. So my mom's like, try pressing the unmute button. I press the unmute button, and Paige is talking at me, and she's screaming because my volume's turned up all the way. And I explained to her that the reason I couldn't hear her was because my computer was on mute.
Yeah, it was really funny. Like, I had to go on AIM and be like, I can hear you. I can hear you. It was so funny. I was like, wow.
That concludes episode 3 of Shoot Without a Script. Thanks for listening, and have a great week. Bye.